Once again, it's time for Let's Talk About Jesus with Pastor Robert Venable. I'm so glad to be with you today, and I'm glad that you have returned to listen to this broadcast once again right here on WMAF. We are on the air at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, and it's been over a year that we've been coming to you over this radio station. And we're so glad to be continuing this ministry right here. We pray it will be a special blessing to all who are listening today. If you're a first-time listener, we welcome you. We pray that you will stay with us for a while as we go to Scripture for the message that we're going to bring you today. I believe that preaching of the gospel is still the vehicle by which God works mighty works in the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls. The Scripture said that God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those who are lost. I'm not talking about foolish preaching, but I'm talking about how just humanly impossible it would be to see lives transformed just by bringing you words, except those words come from the Holy Bible, and except those words be anointed of and by the Holy Spirit. But when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Scripture and we declare them as it is written, the Holy Spirit Himself gets involved, and He can take this foolish act, as the Bible calls it, of preaching, this weak thing that we do as men and women who proclaim the gospel, and make it a powerful, life-changing event in your life. We still claim that great scripture in Psalm 107 and verse 20, where it said, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And we feel very, very strongly that God is sending His word to you today. He knows you. He cares about you. I don't believe as a Christian in accidents, in the sense of you accidentally tuning in and me accidentally ministering what God has given us today. I believe in divine appointments. So we pray that you will stay tuned and see if you bear witness with something that is said today in your heart and in your life. Amen. We want to get very quickly into our message for this week. The title of this would be Living the New Life in Jesus Christ. And as a little PS to that, it would be recalling the before to better appreciate the after. I've always enjoyed looking at before and after pictures, maybe this old house that on television, or some of the other shows that show a kitchen before it was renovated, show it after it was renovated, show a house before it was renovated, and show it after it was renovated, to show a plastic surgeon removing some terrible flaw in someone, and showing the after. Showing a bodybuilder that was just a skinny kid before, and through discipline and through hard work became this monstrous looking person with muscles where I don't even have places. But I'm telling you something, there's a before and an after for those who come to Jesus Christ. And I'm just excited today to declare to you what God can do in your life if you open your heart to Him. You don't have to change yourself to have this after. But you will not be like you were before after you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I just want to really emphasize once again that God wants us to come to Him as we are, and surrender our life to Him and repent of our sins and invite Jesus into our heart. God begins to work from that point in our life. And if you have your Bibles today, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Listen to these words from the Holy Writ very carefully. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. I like the New International. It says we too may live a new life. You know, we're not that distant from celebrating Resurrection Sunday, and where we remember how God raised Jesus from the dead by his mighty power. And we need to clearly understand that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive. "You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." Because of that spiritual resurrection, that restoration of fellowship with God, who could not have a relationship with us as long as we stayed in our sinful condition, but desired a relationship with us. That's why he sent Jesus to pay the price by taking the penalty for our sins, so that we could be reconciled unto God. And he promises us a new life, not just turning over a new leaf, but a brand new life. You know, I've been saved for 40 years. I got saved, when I say saved, it's really been longer than that, that I had an experience with the Lord when I was 12 years old, and I fell away from God. But at 21 years old, I made a full-blown, complete commitment to Jesus Christ. And I've never looked back. I can honestly say that what he's done in me has been so powerful and so wonderful. I have never entertained the idea of going back. There's nothing to go back to. There's everything to go forward to receive. I love the Lord today, and I wouldn't trade my Christian experience literally for anything in this world. Jesus Christ changed my life, and Jesus Christ is still changing my life. And he's working from the inside out. Hallelujah. This thing doesn't work from the outside in. It works from the inside out. The scripture literally says it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It goes on to say, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us." So I want to just reiterate once again today that if you think, if you're not a Christian and you think you have to change yourself and turn over a new leaf in order to come to God, you got it backwards, friend. Amen. You have to come to God just like you are, and instead of turning over a new leaf, he will give you a new life. Amen. So I've been saved for 40 years, and when I first became a Christian, 21 to 60, in a full-blown commitment, I remember singing about this new life in Jesus. And I just want to, it was called "I'm in a New World," one of the songs we used to sing when I first became a Christian. And it says, "I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Old things have passed away. All things are new today. I used to walk in paths so dim. Oh, how I've changed since I met him. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me." Salvation, my friend, is a powerful event, a life-changing event. Walking in the newness of life means living and behaving radically different from the old life. It means living a dynamic, power-filled life. This is not salvation by works. I want to make that very clear. But it is works that prove that salvation has occurred. Your life changes when you meet Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. It is a life marked by an unshakable peace and an unquenchable joy and an undisputed victory. It means living large spiritually, living a life of meaning and worth, a life filled with hope and holy anticipation. Jesus put it this way in the New Testament. He said, "The thief came," speaking of Satan, the devil, Diablos, "the thief came but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." In order to appreciate and appropriate this new life in Christ, we need to compare it to our old spiritual condition, the horrible, hopeless, and helpless condition of everyone who is unsaved. We need to look back at the before in order to appreciate the after. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." In this passage, we see God's diagnosis of the spiritual condition of all fallen men and women. Here Paul describes the fivefold condition of human beings in whose lives God has not yet intervened, people living without grace. And the first thing we notice here is that we were spiritually dead. "And you hath he quickened," or given life, or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." I looked up the Greek, in the Greek dictionary, the word Paul uses here, that we translate as dead. The word dead in the Greek means, guess what? Newsflash, listen to this, dead. It doesn't mean anything else, not sick, not wounded, not temporarily incapacitated. We are not weak or in a spiritual coma. God checks us, and the diagnosis is that we are dead. In the Bible, the word life is often used to express a human being's union with God, meaning that when we are in union with God, our Creator, we have life. In contrast, the word death often implies the idea of being separated from our Creator and our Savior. The problem is that we have been alienated from God, and as a result of our sinful condition, the solution is reconciliation through Jesus Christ, vicarious death on the cross. That's the only way to be made alive from spiritual death, is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our personal Savior. Jesus said this. He said, "He that hath the Son hath life." When He comes in, He reconciles us to God, and we who were dead in sins and transgressions are made alive unto God. We can have a relationship with Him. And we are made spiritually alive. We can perceive God. There's something that changes radically. God is not just somewhere out there or up there. We sense Him very, very near every single day. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 and 22. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. My, what a change it has made since the blood of Jesus has been applied to anyone who receives Christ as their Savior. I want to read that verse 22 again. This is exciting that God would view us this way because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. This is absolutely incredible. That this has happened to us in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now, the only way to actually meet all of those demands of God is to be sinlessly perfect, and no one is. The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the blood of Jesus Christ presents us to God, that we become in His sight. The devil will always have something to accuse you and I of. The Bible said if we have no sin in 1 John, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. I don't have a problem with the message of repentance. Amen. When I fail, when I stumble, when I get an attitude that I know is wrong, I go before the Lord. I ask Him to help me and forgive me. And the Bible said that's how I keep this standing with Him. This applying of the blood of Jesus Christ through repentance. Amen. That He sees us as holy and unblameable and unreprovable. That's when the enemy of our soul is defeated. You know, you can't defeat the devil by living such a sinlessly perfect life that he has nothing to accuse you of. But you can defeat the devil by repenting of our sins. That's when he loses any accusing power. In fact, the word devil comes from the Greek word diablos, and it means a maligner. It means one who accuses us and tears at our reputation and tears us down. And the Bible said in the book of Revelation chapter 12, now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him, the accuser, through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives even unto the death. There's something about appreciating your standing in the Lord and devoting your life to Him because He has done something so wonderful for you, literally loving Him back because He loved us so much that we would lay down our life for Him out of devotion for what He's done for us. But you'll never come to that place of devotion until you really appreciate what He's done for you and you really understand the magnitude of it. Imagine you and I, flawed human beings, able to stand before God Almighty and to be presented unto Him, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. My friend, what the blood of Jesus has done, what the blood of Jesus can do. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior today, you could never present yourself to God in this state. But the blood of Jesus applied, if you accept Christ as your Savior, can present you in that state before God's holy presence. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you can look at Christians and see we are far from perfect. But I'll tell you what we are. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. We used to sing that great camp meeting hymn, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to go on today. We've been given new life in Christ. We've been set free from sin and death. We've been reconciled to God. He looks at us differently as a result of Christ's atoning sacrifice. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, listen to this carefully. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, this new life is not just the infusion of spiritual power, but the establishment of a new relationship with the Holy God through Jesus Christ. We cannot come to God through perfect obedience, for man cannot render it. I'm going to say that again. We cannot come to God through perfect obedience because man cannot render it. And we cannot come to God through imperfect obedience, for God cannot accept it. The only answer to man's dilemma is the cross of Jesus Christ, where He shed His blood, where He paid in full the price for my sin and for your sin. Before we go on to the next point, just think today of what God has done through Jesus for you and for me. Amen. When He sent His Son, the Bible said the just was going to suffer for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. You see, this is not just about going to heaven. There's something more at stake. The byproduct of what Jesus did at the cross is inheriting heaven, going to that wonderful place that Jesus has prepared for us. That's secondary. The primary reason that Jesus died on the cross is to reconcile us to the Father, to bring us back into a right relationship with God, who could not accept us on the basis of our best attempt at righteousness. The Bible again says, there's none righteous. No, not one. We've all sinned. We've all failed. We've all missed the mark. That's what it meant in the Greek, that we've missed the mark. We've all missed the mark. There's none righteous, no, not even one. And the only way to have a standing of righteousness before the Lord is through the blood of Jesus Christ. But thank God we have access to Him. I'm telling you, if you don't know Him today as your personal Savior, right where you are, and maybe you were like me, if there was a season in my life that I felt like I can't live the Christian life. I can't live up to the standard. I have habits I can't break. There's character flaws I can't change. There's sins that, to be honest, I enjoyed those sins. I didn't see the destructive force of them. I didn't see them as poison in my soul, but I saw them as something that gratified me. And I thought, number one, I can't give up my sins. Number two, I can't change the flaws in my character. I can't. And number three, therefore, I can't live the Christian life. So until I can do all those things, I can't come to God. And how wrong that I was. And I didn't realize that I could come to God with all of those problems and flaws and sins and habits and hang-ups, and repent of those sins and invite Jesus into my heart. And when Jesus enters the human heart and the human condition, He begins to work by His Spirit within us to make those radical, dramatic changes just because we invite Him in and we don't want to be chained to sin anymore. He even changed my desires. I tell you, so much changed when I met Him. And friend, He can change you today. I'm nobody special. This is not something for special people with special callings and some inside walk with God that other people don't have access to. This is for every man, woman, boy, and girl. If you're listening to this broadcast today and you think you can't live the Christian life, you are absolutely right. You cannot do it. But in yourself, you can't change change yourself. But can Jesus change you? Can Jesus enable you? Can the Holy Spirit empower you? You know, my Bible said you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. That word power is the word dunamis, and it means miracle working ability or supernatural ability. God is not asking you to do something in your strength. He's asking you to invite Him into your life so that He can work from the inside out. Hallelujah. I love that scripture again that says it's God that worketh in you. Can you imagine the God who in His power and by His Spirit created the universe? The God who created and made everything that is made, that God working within you, working within me? Ah, friend, you don't have to do this in your strength. Now, there's another scripture in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and it uses a different word for power. It says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And that's not the word dunamis there that means supernatural ability. This is a word in the Greek that meant authority. God authorizes you to become part of His own royal family. He empowers you to be brought into His very kingdom and calls you His very own sons and daughters, not because He is our Creator, but because He is our Savior and has become our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand today, whatever chain in your life that you feel you can't break, God can and will break. Whatever habit you think this have you, that's what it means. Have you is what habit means, literally from the root word. And whatever has you today, when God has you, whatever else has a hold on you is going to have to turn loose of you. Glory be to God. Amen. So I'm telling you, don't you ever let the enemy of your soul keep you from coming to Jesus because you can't live the life. Paul said, it's no more I that live, it's Christ that liveth in me. It's Jesus working from the inside out by His Spirit and by the Holy Spirit today. And if you're a Christian today and you're struggling, I want you to know there's victory for you in Jesus Christ. If you're affiliating with people that are not living an overcoming life, find some people that are and hook up with them. The Bible said evil communications corrupt good manners. Literally, what it's saying is evil companionships corrupt good morals. And you need to hook up with some people that are overcoming, because what they're doing is something that is not because they have strength of character or they're greater or stronger than anyone else. It just simply means that they are tapping in to the resources that have been promised them in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So today, amen. Our time is gone and it feels like we were just getting started today. I'm excited about what God is still doing in my life after 40 years of following Jesus Christ. And you know something else? I'm excited to declare unto you what Jesus Christ can and will do in your life by His Spirit. And I'm excited today to invite you to open your heart right now and let Jesus come in and not save your soul, number one. Write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Give you an inheritance in that heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. But more importantly, reconcile you to God, to where whatever you need in terms of strength and help in your life to overcome, you can call on Him. And in a relationship of father and son, father and daughter, and He will hear and He will help you to live above that you could never, ever attain, except He come within you. Jesus said, "If any man open the door, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in." So would you open the door? Say, "Jesus, save me. Deliver me. Today, I repent and receive you." Our time is gone. Be sure and tune in next week. We love you. Come back and let's talk about Jesus.